first of all, I want to thank you for letting me have the opportunity to come back. It's always fun to come back because this is a place, and it has to do with our message. But this is a place where I really feel I belong. I'm comfortable here. I'm settled here. I know I'm loved here. Well, mostly. And
we're having a new member's reception today.
And that also ties in with what we're going to talk about today. But it's a wonderful thing to belong. But I want to share with you a story that happened in my family a couple of weeks ago. A couple of weeks ago, we were running late for church, which isn't too unusual for our family, but we were running really late for church. So, and I made an important discovery that could make a huge difference in all of our experience of church from that time. And I want to see if you can figure it out. See, I was embarrassed to get to my church where I'm at right now. I've been 20-something years. It was embarrassing for me to walk in late, but to walk in really late. And so I was embarrassed. And I suggested to my girls, one's 12, one's 13, about to be 14. And I suggested, how about today we go to a different church this morning? One that starts about a half hour, 45 minutes better later than what ours does. And I was met with, no, we want to go to our church. They weren't going to have anything to do with it. I had a small rebellion on my hand. And so I tried to convince them. And we're all Christians. And it's so we can worship in any church. And it's even a good thing to go at times and experience how other parts of the body worship together, right? Yeah? No, wrong. Even though that may be true up here, they weren't given an inch. And so academically, I was right. But it really didn't matter. You see, something else was at work. Now, here's your part. Participation time. I'm going to give you a brief minute. And I want you, and we'll try to do this. I know it's awkward and hard, but push through that little awkward thing. And I'm going to give you a minute, and I want you to share with at least one person around you why you think my daughters did not like my plan. What was wrong with my plan? Okay, so if you're gutsy enough, stand up. I actually want you to share with each other, because I know what you'll do. You'll sit here and do just like this. He'll get over it in a minute. No, stand up. Go ahead and join me. Stand up. Yes, the other 90%. Or not, if you're uncomfortable with it. But somebody next to you, go ahead and share. Why do you think? What do you think was wrong with my plan with my daughters? Go ahead and share. See, that's the rebel bunch back there. See, I know that bunch because I was raised here, and Harold Williams used to sit right back there on that back row, and he wouldn't participate in nothing. And I love Harold Williams. Okay. All right. Somebody from this side. Sure. What was wrong with my plan? It wasn't what they wanted. They wouldn't know anybody there. A couple of people from this side. Do what? No, that do not share any answers about getting up on time. Why else? Why was that? Why were they not going to have it? Okay, they were expected. One other. Oh, it was my idea. That's a good enough reason. What'd you say? What was yours? Their friends wouldn't be there. Watch this. Here's what it boiled down to. That's where they belong. That's their church. They belong there. And it doesn't matter that we can worship God anywhere. It doesn't matter that people at that other church might be friendly and welcoming and we could learn different things about the body. It really didn't matter because the main thing was, that's not where I belong. I belong there. That's my church. Okay? Look, many people never find in their entire Christian life the kind of belonging that God wants them to have. They can be members of a church for 20, 30, 50 years, and many times still, even involved, sometimes even being on staff of churches, and never find the kind of belonging that God wants them to have, that God longs for them to know. Today we're going to look at a few verses from the Bible that help us better experience the kind of belonging God wants us to have. If you'll turn to Ephesians chapter 2, we're going to begin in verse 11. Ephesians chapter 2, 11. And watch this. Now Paul wrote kind of like I talk sometimes, long. But in the first sentence of this chapter, twice he says to remember. Through the Bible, God calls us to remember. Jesus, drink the bread and eat the bread in remembrance of me. Throughout the Old Testament, all these feasts and celebrations all through the year to remember. Remember what I did in the Passover. Remember how I delivered you from your archenemy Haman that wanted to exterminate you. And they built up these feasts that annually they would have to remember, to remember, to remember, to remember. And twice in this first, here we go, verse 11. Therefore, remember that formerly, you who are Gentiles by birth and called uncircumcised by those who call themselves the circumcision, which is done in the body by human hands, remember that at that time, you were separate from Christ, excluded from the citizenship in Israel, foreigners to the covenants of the promise, without hope, without God in the world. That's a bad place to be. Excluded, not in, certainly not belonging. Every step of that's just like getting pushed further and further back. Excluded, foreigners, distance, not a part, not a part, not a part. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who were once, not just away, but once were far away, have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made the two groups one and has destroyed the barrier, dividing the wall of hostility. By setting aside in his flesh the law with its commands and regulations, his purpose was to create in himself one new humanity out of the two, thus making peace. And in one body to reconcile both of them to God, again, through the cross, by which he put to death their hostility. He came and preached peace to you who were far away and peace to those who were near. For through him we both have access to the Father by one Spirit. Consequently, as a result, you are no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people and members of his household. You belong. You have a place. Built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, with Christ Jesus himself, the chief cornerstone. In him, in Jesus, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him, in Jesus, you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. There's lots of good stuff in that chapter, in those verses. We're just going to highlight just a couple of those. So this is not going to be exhaustive, but highlight a couple. Watch this. The objective truth, the technical reality for each one of us when we become a Christian, when we give our hearts to Jesus, when we accept his gift of salvation, however you word that in your mind, the truth, the reality is you do belong to the church, in the church. You have a place in the church. That is true up here. And nothing can shake that. It's objectively, technically a truth about you. You do belong. You do. In Romans 14:25, though, look what it says. 12, 4 through 5. For just as each of us have one body with many members, and these members don't have all the same function, and here it is. So, again, in Christ, it always comes back to this. In Christ, we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. Like it or not, this side belongs to this side. This side belongs to this side. Those who are compliant and stand when I ask in the front belong to the rebels in the back. You belong to each other. That's a fact. But for many people, it's just academic. It's something that's all up here. And for many people, it's something that doesn't make a difference. It doesn't direct their life. It doesn't affect how they experience God. It just doesn't, it's all up here. Something I can mark off on a test. something I could say, yes, that's true. And that becomes the end of it. It's not enough. See, sadly, they don't know the reality of belonging in their own experience. In their experience. And that's where God wants to take us. He does want us to know, look, you need to know this. You do belong. Because you are, like we read multiple times, in Christ, you have a place. You do belong. It starts there, but that's just the launching point. That's just the starting gate. He wants us to experience what it is to belong to each other. Those of us who do have a strong sense of belonging in this church, in my church, in any other churches, and a strong sense of what it is to be family in the church. One of the things that I love about South Avenue Baptist is there is a strong sense of family for those who experience a strong sense of family. See, if you're on the inside, you know that experience. And as you describe your experience of your church to others, those are the words you put to it. But you can come to South Avenue Baptist Church for years. You can serve in different places with the children in Sunday school and these as a deacon in other places. You can come, and yes, there are those in the church who experience South Avenue Baptist Church as family. But you can be here for decades, maybe your entire Christian lifetime, and never be on the inside of that. It can ache when you know others experience that, you hear them describe that, but for some reason, whatever it is, you're on the outside looking in. On the outside looking in. For people to get inside, they have to have someone from the inside welcome them in. Bring them in. Watch this. You don't get on the inside by a handshake on a Sunday morning. It's not enough. Okay, a little group participation again. I never liked doing this when I was out there, but we're going to give it a shot. I'll say it, I'll point to you, and you say, it's just not enough. We'll practice. May have to have you come up here and give some direction on that. One, two, three. It's just not okay, watch this. A handshake's not enough. A smile is not enough. A genuine welcome is not enough. An invitation to come is just not enough. It's not. It's not enough to be on the inside of the family. Those things will not bring someone inside the family. Most churches will describe, and probably 99% of the churches are friendly, are welcoming. They invite people to come and be a part. They genuinely want people to come and be a part. But the reality is, most denominations, most churches in America, in a time where we have more resources, more technology, more tools to reach people than any other time in the history of the world, if you chart it, here's what's happening. In America, not off distant lands, that's what the chart looks like. And it's been doing that since the 1950s. But we love people. We want people. We help people. We serve people. We're family. I know that. I've experienced that. We smile. We welcome. We invite. We advertise. We do all these things to have people in. But somehow they still miss that thing. And that's what's happening. It doesn't have to be that way. But all the things we've talked about are not enough. It's just not enough. It's just not enough. Now, they're good. I'm not knocking any of those things. Those are all good. Let's do that. Those are all good things. Okay, just wanted to make sure we had that. Not knocking any of those things. Romans 12. Don't just pretend to love others. And I don't think this church at all pretends to love others. But it's really love them. Hate what's wrong. Hold tightly to what's good. Love each other with genuine affection. And take delight in honoring each other. If you'll go ahead and get the... we're going to try a little technical thing here. I've got a video clip I'd like for you to see. And in this video clip, I want to introduce you to someone that I think can help us learn a little bit more about how to make this happen. His name is Don Pedro Aragon. He's a character from the movie A Walk to Remember. Don't know if you've... How many have seen that? Good. The more that haven't, the better. Anthony Quinn, he plays Don Pedro. He's the patriarch of a wealthy family. They own a vineyard in California. If you'll go ahead and get that queued up while I describe it, don't play it yet, but I'll tell you when to play it. Now, Don Pedro's son, Alberto, is incensed. He's not angry. He is incensed that his daughter, Victoria, married a guy named Paul Sutton, a gringo, a man that they had never met. Now, Alberto brags in a part of the show that the Aragon family can trace their family back 400 years to some of the finest families in Mexico. They are proud, they're aristocratic, and this is not the way things are done in our family. Now, unlike them, Paul Sutton, he was an orphan. He didn't know who his own parents were. He was different from them in almost every way. He had no heritage, he had no history, and he was unsure of his place in the world and certainly unsure of his place in their family. Now, like the Aragons, some of you in this room come from a strong heritage and a long line of faith. Spiritually, you're like the Aragons. Without the Aragon attitude, it's something you were born into. Okay, I never knew life without being a part of a church family. I was disciplined from the youngest time, from my parents and my Sunday school teachers and my RA directors, and received stern looks from many of the other adults that would gather in this room. I was raised with that. That was my heritage. I never knew anything else. I was an Aragon. I was born into the family. It's all I ever knew. And from the earliest times, I knew I belonged. I may be a troublemaker, not as big a troublemaker as Gary Ladd and others, but I knew I belonged. I knew I had a place. And a place where I was loved, despite all my nonsense. Others of us come to faith like Paul Sutton. You came to Christ, or you're on the verge of coming to Christ, checking things out of Christ, as a spiritual orphan. Alone in the journey. All this is strange to you. The music, I love the music, but it's strange to you. How people act, the unwritten rules, all the things about church is strange to you. It's different. You are a foreigner, an outsider looking in to something that a lot of times doesn't make sense. You're a Paul Sutton. You ask yourself, do I have a place here? Do I belong here? Well, we're going to see what this family patriarch, Don Pedro, can reveal to us about how we can put these scriptures into practice. We're going to watch tidbits from two scenes. The first is coming up in just a moment. Now remember, the family has just found out. Victoria's arrived. She's been gone off to college. She arrived. She's married. They knew nothing about it. And this first clip is going to show how Don Pedro bridges these huge differences to help Paul Sutton experience what it means to belong. So if we'll go ahead and get the volume up where it goes, because it starts off immediately. We good to go? And if you'll go ahead and play.
Mama. Victoria! ¿Cuál es el problema?
Here is the problem. Is this how you were brought up? To betray your mother? Betray your father.
I did not betray anyone. What on earth are you talking about?
What do you think I'm talking about? The gringo.
His name is Paul, Papa.
Hijita linda?
Abuelita.
I told you. A girl's place is here, at home. Here! Not alone, in some city, doing God knows what.
I'm going to school there. That's what I'm doing.
Will someone tell me what is going on?
Your daughter, she is married.
Felicidades, querida.
Mama!
Mama.
Grandpa, make him stop, please.
That's right. Cuddle her. The whole bunch of you. But I'll tell you, right now, this will not stand so long as I draw breath. I swear before God.
Berto. You're so unfair.
Me? I'm unfair. I came home to tell my family that I spit on their trust. I'm the one who came home to rub in their face that I married this. What do you do?
Chocolate. I sell chocolate.
No. You are the head of the family. Say something.
I am Pedro Aragon. Welcome to our happy family.
That's it. Cut it. That's all. Okay. Don Pedro Aragon has some things to teach us about what it means to help people become a part of a family. In spite of all the differences, in spite of all the anger and frustration and maybe disappointment, I am Don Pedro Aragon. Welcome to our happy family. Throughout this movie, and we don't have a lot of picture stuff, but over and over, from this point almost up to the end of the movie, it's really, you see, Don Pedro taking Paul Sutton aside, talking to him, experiencing things, having conversations with him. Remember, it's a vineyard. Having him over to drink with the musicians in the background and all that. All these kind of things. Making him feel at home. Making him feel wanted. Watch this. Inviting him to be with him. Not just saying, oh, you belong. Welcome to our happy family. But going beyond that, say, be with me. Now, we're getting to the next. Don't ignore the man behind the curtain. The Wizard of Oz. Focus up here. We're just getting to the next scene, okay? So stay right here. Focus right here. Look right here. Okay? So he takes, what does he do? We don't have time for that. He takes initiative. He steps across those uncomfortable boundaries, those uncomfortable expectations, and he brings him in. Paul's about to leave several times, and he catches him to the side and says, oh, you stay here with us. Stay, and he makes him stay another day, kind of lures him in. He's about to go in. Oh, you need to come and stay and help us harvest the grapes. Everything, drawing him in to be a part of what the family's about, to kind of immerse him in the family business. So over and over he does this. And what? Now let me ask you this. Here, I do want you to answer this. Why is Don Pedro able to do that for Paul? Because why? I'm not going to have you share, but just two or three of y'all. Why is Don Pedro able to do that? He's the head of the family. He's on the inside. Huh? What? He's set in his ways. But his ways are good ways. I'm not talking about Alberto. He's set in his ways too. They're just different ways. But Alberto loves his family too. One more from over to this side. This side gets an A. Let's see what this side gets. One more. Why? He loves his granddaughter. That's right. So whatever's gone on, because I love you, this. Bible says, bear with one another for what? For love's sake? Yeah, all those things. So over and over, this is taking place. And then at one special moment, and this is the part that I think is most exciting for us, and can be life-giving for some of you in this room. If not for you, for people you love dearly and care about dearly. At one special moment between Don Pedro and the younger Paul Sutton, the patriarch takes him to see the root from which all the plants in their vast vineyard had their origins. The one plant that it all started from. Everything was grafted from. And in this scene, he reveals something powerful to Paul. And if we have eyes to see it, something powerful to teach each one of us sitting here. Are we good to go? Almost? I can keep talking, but aren't we almost there? Oh, almost. We're going to get there. We really will. Okay, this is...
To sell anyway.
This is it. Go ahead and play it from this point forward. It's just a few seconds.
Buenos dias, Señor Paul.
Paul's
it's
leaving
the color
again.
Of the grape that robs our sleep. When she's ripe, she calls to a man. Give me that. Toma, Cosi. Walk with me. Bring the chocolates.
Oh, wait. You really will need to fast forward maybe about a few minutes. I'll tell you when to stop. You know, you kind of run into that with the video you show in church. He's talking to him about what do doctors know about salt and other chocolate and other things they're telling him not to do. And he spices it a little bit like some of us would know how that would work. Okay, now play.
But with me, a descendant from the root, the first Pedro, brought with him. All our vines come from this one. It's not just the root of Las Nubes. It's the root of our lives, a victorious life. Now that you are part of all this, part of us, it is the root of your life. You are an orphan no longer.
Cut it. That was it. Look at that. He found his place. Go back to the root. Where it all springs from. Because you are part of that, we are part of each other. You're an orphan no longer. That's what people need to discover in the church and belonging in the church. You're not alone in this thing. It's not just you and God. You have a place where you belong. You need to experience what it is to belong. And understand this. Now you are... Look, he just stepped through the door from the outside to where? He didn't realize it. Where is he now? Where's Paul Sutton? Where is he? He's inside. He's just inside the door. He's inside. We have to help people step through that door to make it to the inside. And again, what a great example we have from Don Pedro Aragon of what it takes to do that. Remember back to what we read earlier in Ephesians 2. You're no longer foreigners and strangers. See, if this isn't that, you're not an orphan anymore. You're no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people. And the Jews and the Gentiles, they had hostility this family knew nothing of. Alberto was an amateur in the hostility that the people he wrote this to had experienced. Fellow citizens with God's people, also members of his household, built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. In the film, as the what? The root. In him, the whole building is joined together, rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. In him, you too are being built together to become a dwelling place in which God lives by his Spirit. In John 15:5, Jesus uses a similar imagery to what we saw in the video. And we're all familiar with this. Jesus himself saying, I am the vine. You are the branches. I'm the root. You're all that flows out of that to create the vineyard. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. I am the center. I am the source. I'm the one that it all flows from. You cannot be on the inside apart from me. And when you are in me, you have a place of belonging on the inside. It is your place. You're an orphan no more. These are some of the most wonderful words any of us can hear. You're an orphan no more. These are some of the most wonderful words any of us can speak to another. You're going to have a dinner after this service over next door. That's one way of saying you're an orphan no more. You belong. You have a place that is yours. Think of these things. Just in your own life. Who has wandered into your private world as a spiritual orphan? Right now. In your experience, right now. Is there anyone that is in some way has just wandered into your world and they're a spiritual orphan? They could be friends of, they could be a family member. They could be friends of family members that now they're in your acre of influence. They've wandered into your vineyard. They could be new family members. They could be people at school, people at work, people on your sports teams. Spiritual orphans that somehow have fallen under your shadow. Think about this. Is it an accident that they have come to such a place in your life and you in theirs? Do you think that's an accident? Could it possibly be that God has arranged that to be the case? Could it be that God's inviting you to be their Don Pedro Aragon? The one on the inside. Drawing them to be with you to come inside. Will you be a Don Pedro of South Avenue Baptist Church? We already talked about it, how it takes more than a handshake and a hug to bring them inside. It takes more than joining a church to come in. It takes more than sitting where you're sitting right now. Wonderful as that is. And you've been very patient, I might add. It takes more than that. It takes more than being involved in these services, in Sunday school, all these things that are very good, but it takes more than. Your relationship and actions can usher these people to the inside and provide them that place of belonging and place. And then will you become a Don Pedro Aragon in your family? Now, I can say this, well, sort of, premature gray, but some of you are the patriarchs and matriarchs of your family. Some of you occupy the place in your family that Don Pedro occupies in his. You are the one who wields huge, huge influence in those circles of relationships. What will you do with that? Will you be Don Pedro in that circle of relationships? Here's what I would picture Don Pedro saying if he was sitting in our setting. Now, I wish I could say it with an Anthony Quinn accent, but it would just destroy it. Jesus himself is the root from which everything we are and do as a church springs. Jesus is the root of South Avenue Baptist Church. Jesus is the root of our lives. Now that you're a part of all of this, a part of us, Jesus is the root of your life. You are an orphan no longer. So what do we do in practical terms? Sometimes it's very awkward for us. Sometimes even just to invite people to come. But they will not come if we do not invite them to come. And most won't come unless we invite them to come with us. Many people will come through and join the church, and they will come, and many will go. They will come, and they will go. They will wonder, why did they go? Why could they leave a church where we have such a strong sense of family? Because they're like the little orphan kid looking through the snow, the window from the outside at Christmas. They see all the wonderful things, the meal, all that's taking place inside. They're a citizen of the city, but they're not inside in the household. One thing I want to make sure is that we don't hold up some unreasonable expectation on ourselves or on each other, that we whip ourselves saying, oh, I don't do all that I could do. I haven't done all that others might do or all that Jay might lead us to do. That's unnecessary. It's nonsense. Don't do that. But do give purposeful effort, purposeful time. Have an intentional plan to do more than a handshake, a smile, a welcome, and a y'all come. Be Don Pedro. Take new people, whether they're investigating the church or a new part of the church, under your wing to demonstrate they belong. And reveal that to them through your relationship with them. I've seen churches structure that in different ways. With one church, it was a Presbyterian church, a friend of mine went to. And I always thought, what a wise thing they would do. And I'm not suggesting this with you. I'm just saying we've got to think about these things and be intentional and have a plan, because we know people are going to come in. We know they're going to come in and not feel inside. We know there are probably people in this room right now. I'm not going to have you raise your hand. In this room right now that may have been here for years, and you may still feel like the kid looking through the window. We've got to have an intentional plan, because we know that is the state of things. In their church, they had a thing where when people joined the church, they had a sponsor family that was responsible for them for a significant block of time. They ate with them. They had parties with them at different people's homes. They immersed them, like Don Pedro, into the family, into other relationships, because those people can't do it on their own. That can only come from the where? From the inside. Think about what we have to do from the inside, not just to welcome people in, but to take them by the hand, to put the arm around them like Don Pedro would, and usher them along inside. What would that look like here? I know. There's always more that we can do. And I know that probably everyone's heart in here is good and desirous to have people come to the inside. I don't want you to leave with any negative feelings about what has or hasn't happened with that. What I want you to leave with, and I'm not going to, and you let God's Spirit check with your heart what He wants in all this. I mean, that's what it's all about anyway. But could it be that maybe God just wants to encourage you that, wow, with all these other good things that we've already done, here's a meaningful, significant way we can even become richer as a family. that we can help those who are sitting in this room right now feel that. Not just know it, but feel that. I'm not into just feely kind of stuff for feely's sake. But it is not enough just to know that as a fact. Anyway, think about your part. Think about, maybe y'all could discuss that as a church. What if God brings some specific ideas up? But you can certainly be that with those people he brings individually into your life. I'm going to pray. And if you are here and you're one of those that have come and you've been investigating or looking, you say, you know what? Yeah, this is the kind of church I may want to be a part of. Then you come and visit with one of our church leaders up here in the front that'll be up here during the invitation time. And if you know of people in the life of this church that are not in, and you care about them and you love them and you want them to be in, then spend this time and just you and God have a little conversation. You ask God, God, what can I do to be Don Pedro with those people? Father God, thank you so much for what I personally have experienced of being on the inside in this church body. I thank you for allowing me to come from a family where I was born to the inside. And I ask that you will help each one of us here, whether we come as one of the Aragons or as we come as Paul Sutton, whether we've come as born into it or once orphans distanced from it, to know and experience the depth of what you want us to have and experience as a part of your family, as belonging. Thank you for making that possible. Thank you for desiring that for us individually. And thank you for stirring our hearts together as a body to help others experience that thing that God so longs for them to experience, that you want them to have and know. In Jesus' name I pray.